This week's parsha is Parshas Tzav, and in regular years, unless it is a leap year, Parshas Tzav always falls the Shabbos before Pesach. Avudraham says the simon is Pogdu Upitzchu, that we should command, which means Parshas Tzav, because the word Tzav translates as command, and then we make the Pesach. And before we start discussing the parsha, we have to explain why did the rabbi specifically choose that Parshas Tzav should be before Pesach. I saw in Sefer Minag Marselya, Rosh Chodesh Nissen, Amud 157, Divra Mashchel Rosh Chodesh, where there it says that since in this week's Parsha we have the idea of Hagolas Kelim, that you are required to kasher your utensils, you're required to purge your utensils from the taste that it was absorbed in the walls, because in chapter 6, Pasuk number 21, where we're talking about the chatas, the sin offering, and we are discussing the vessels that the sin offering was cooked on, and there we say, Ukli cheres asher tevush al boy yishover, any earthenware that the chatas was cooked in it should be broken, ve'im bichli hinchoishes bushala, but if the chatas was cooked in a copperware umoirak, then it should be purged ve'shuta b'maim, and it should be rinsed in water. Meaning that if you cooked a chatas in earthenware, since earthenware you are not allowed to kasher, you're not allowed to make good, and normally all vessels absorb the taste or some of the material that was cooked in, even though the material is not visible, but nonetheless the vessels absorb it. And the rule of achatas is that you are only allowed to eat for a day and a night, and after that time it becomes nosar, it becomes leftover, and you're not allowed to eat anymore. Therefore, if you use earthenware to cook it, and in an earthenware the absorption doesn't come out, then automatically it is going to reach a level of becoming prohibited. We have no choice, we require to break it in order not to transgress the prohibition of Nosar, of having leftover holy meat after the time of the prohibition. But if you have a metal pot, and a metal pot you could purge and you could remove the taste, then you require to purge it either by using hot water or by using fire in order to remove the absorption that was in it, and then you could use it the next time and there won't be any absorption to become prohibited when the time elapses. And from that we learn the halachas of kashering. The same way Pesach, even though the pot is totally clean, there is no chametz in the pot, there is no leaven in the pot, but nonetheless, since it was used during the year for leavening things, for leaven products, we believe that the absorption stays in the wall of the pot in the same way as the absorption of the chatas stays in the wall. Therefore, if you have an earthenware, you're supposed to break it, but if you have a metalware, then you are allowed to kasher it. And because of this halacha that is written here, which is so important for people to know before Pesach, because people have the assumption that if my pots are clean, obviously I may use it, which is not true. We see that the Torah prescribes the absorptions to be prohibited, that they require to break every earthenware. So too, Pesach, where chametz is aser b'mashu, where chametz is aser any minute amount, it becomes prohibited, we are not allowed to keep it the way it is, and we require to kasher it. And because of this idea that everybody should know this halacha, therefore the rabbis saw fit that the Shabbos before Pesach, they should make sure that we read Parshas Tzav. And once we read this, everybody is going to realize that they have to kasher their vessels. And since everybody wants to keep the mitzvah of Pesach the proper way, they will do that for Pesach. When I was preparing a class on the Siddur, and I was researching Tehillim 100, Mizmor Lesoida, which Ashkenazim say it after Hoidu, and Sfardim say it after Baruch Sheomar, I remember that the Siddur HaTfilah for the Rokeach explains that in this chapter is written four times the name of Hashem. It's written Mizmor Lesoido Horiu Hashem Kol Haaretz, a psalm of thanksgiving, call out to Hashem everyone on earth, Ivdu Es Hashem Besimcha, serve Hashem with gladness. Then the U, you should know Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, that Hashem is the true God. And the last pasuk, Ki Toiv Hashem Le'olam Chasdoi, that Hashem is always good, His kindness endures forever. And the Rokeach says that it's written four times the word Hashem to remind us that there are four people that require to say thanksgiving to Hashem. As the Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim Simen Reish Yud Tes Sif Aleph brings down, that Arba Tzrichim Le'odois, there are four people that require to thank Hashem, require to bring the Korban Toda. They are Yordei Hayom, people that cross a ocean, Ve'olchem Midbarois, people that walk in the desert, U'misho Ayochoylev V'nisrape, somebody that was sick and became healed, U'misho Ayochavush V'beis Wasirim, somebody that was in jail and it became free. And the Or HaChaim brings down the Simonach, and the simon that we have, a nice way to remember the four people, is V'chol HaChaim Yodicho Selo, that all the living should thank you. The acronym of the word Chaim, Ches, is the Choyle, a sick person. One Yud is Yesurim, somebody who was locked up and became free. The other Yud is for Yam, for somebody who is crossing the sea. And the Mem is for Midbar, somebody who is crossing the desert. And that's why it's written four times the Shem Yudke Vavke, the name of Hashem that denotes kindness, because of the four situations that you are required to thank Hashem. If you go through one of these four things, you're required in biblical times to bring a Korban Toda, a thanksgiving offering. And nowadays we require to thank Hashem, and we do it by saying the Berachat HaGomel. There's a bracha we make, which is HaGomel Lechayovim Toivois Shegmolani Kol Toiv, translates Hashem who bestows good things upon the guilty, who has bestowed every goodness on me. And we say this bracha when we go through these circumstances. And the Rokeach at that point also says that in Parshas Tzav also is written four times the word Toida. If you take a look on chapter 7, pasuk number 12, there it starts Im al Toido Yakriveno. That's one time the word Toda, which means the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And in the same pasuk says Al Zevach HaToida, on the sacrifice of the Toda, which is two times the word Toda. Then on pasuk number 13 says Al Zevach Toidas Shlomov, on the sacrifice of Toda should be his offering, his peace offering. So that's three times. And then on pasuk number 15, Upsar Zevach Toida Shlomov, the flesh of his thanksgiving peace offering, it's written four times the word Toda. The Rokeach explains it's also for the four people that are required to say thanksgiving. In other words, this week's Parsha says four times the word Toda to tell you there are four people that are required to give thanksgiving. And I was trying to make this connection that the Rokeach brings, that it's written four times the word Toida, as that being the reason why we read specifically Parshas Tzav before Pesach. And the simple connection is that since Erev Pesach we do not bring a Korban Toda, as the custom is, we do not say Mizmor Lesoida on Erev Pesach, because on Pesach we are not allowed to bring the sacrifice of Toda, because part of the Toda offering is to bring 40 breads, of which 10 are chometz, 10 are made leaven. And since on Pesach we're not allowed to eat leaven, therefore we're not allowed to bring on Erev Pesach the sacrifice of Toda, because we are not allowed to bring something that cannot be eaten. Therefore, I wanted to say, as a simple answer, that this could be the reason why the rabbis wanted you to say Parshas Tzav before Pesach, because since we are not going to say Erev Pesach, the Parshas of Toda, at least we kind of remind ourselves the week before about the Toda, that the Toda is one of the main sacrifices. And then I decided that maybe there is a deeper reason why the rabbis decided to put Parshas Tzav, which includes Todah, but also includes four times the word Todah, which according to the Rokeach signifies the four people that are required to give thanksgivings. And the reason could be that Todah and the people that are required to give thanksgiving are in direct connection to the story of Passover and to the whole Exodus of Egypt. Because if you analyze the story of Egypt, we see that we really have included in that story the four types of people that require to give a thanksgiving offering. The most easy case to associate for one that has to give a thanksgiving offering is that Hashem redeems us from slavery into freedom. In other words, we were in bondage and we became free. That is tantamount to a person who was in jail and now he left jail. One of the persons that required to say thanksgiving is a person that was in jail and became free. And then after that, we crossed the sea, the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. True, we didn't cross it with ships. We crossed by foot because Hashem made it dry for us. But nonetheless, we are Yordei Hayom Kesha'olu Mimenu. We are people that went down into the sea and came up. One of the other people that required to say thanksgiving is somebody who survived the crossing of the sea. The third type of people that require to say thanksgiving is people that walk in the desert when they come out of the desert. And the Jewish people during the 40 years of the Exodus, we walked in the desert and we survived. Therefore, we require to give a thanksgiving offering. And the last group of people that require to say thanksgiving are somebody who was sick and became healed. And we know at Matan Torah, when we reach Sinai and when we receive the Ten Commandments, there the Talmud says that anybody who was a mute who couldn't speak was able to be healed because the Jewish population all together said Naaseh V'Nishma. And the Medrash says that it is really everybody. And also everybody that was deaf now could hear because everybody said V'Nishma and we will hear obviously means that everybody was able to hear. And also on Shemos chapter 20, Pasuk number 15, the Pasuk says V'chol ha'om roim es ha'koilois ves ha'lapidim, the whole population saw the thunder and the flames. That means everybody literally who was blind became healed. Then we see we were choila, we were a sick person that became healed. And one of the four people that require to say thanksgiving or require to bring the thanksgiving offering is somebody that was sick and became healed. Therefore, since in the story of Pesach is included all of the four people that require to say thanksgiving, for you to remember that, for you to make sure you recounted during Pesach, the rabbis made sure that always Parshas Tzav falls before Pesach, for you to remember these four people that are required to thank, and you will tell the story of the Haggadah and enhance it with the four miracles, with the four gratitude levels that we require to have for Hashem. And I wanted to add that every time we have four, we could answer that this is one of the reasons that we use the four cups of wine, even though we answered last year that the four cups of wine are, according to the Talmud, the four Leshoinos Shagula, the four languages of redemption that's written in Parshas Va'era on the story of Pesach. Also, we mentioned the four exiles. We also mentioned that the four cups, that it was by the story of Yosef and his interpretation of the dreams for the wine steward. Also, the Dazakenim Bala Toisves on Parshas Bo, chapter 12, Pasuk number 8, brings down that the four cups of wine are the four times David HaMelech mentioned the word cup, and they are on Tehillim, chapter 16, Pasuk number 8, there it says, Hashem menos chelki v'koisi, Hashem, my allotted portion and my cup, meaning and my salvation. And then on Tehillim chapter 23, pasuk number 5, there says, Dishanto b'shem roishi koisi revoyo, that you anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. That the two times the word cup is mentioned. And then on Tehillim 116, pasuk number 13, we say kois Yeshua's esa, a cup of salvations in the plural, our race. There the Medrash says it's talking about two salvations in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, which means that we are going to raise two cups, one for this world and one for the world to come. It's written four times the word cup. Because of the four times the word cup that David HaMelech mentioned, Daza Kenim says, we take four cups of wine. But Daza Kenim doesn't explain why David HaMelech only mentions in Tehillim four cups. But according to what we just said, we could say that the reason that it's mentioned four cups, and specifically cups of salvation, is because there are four people that require to give thanksgiving. And each thanksgiving is like a salvation. Therefore, it fits very well that on Pesach we should have four cups of wine, because the four cups of salvation that David HaMelech said, which is equivalent to the four people that require to bring a Todah offering, require to bring a thanksgiving offering. And the same idea that we mentioned, that the reason the rabbis put Parshas Tzav before Pesach is because of the Korban Todah, and also what we just mentioned from the Daza Kenim, Kos Yeshua's, the cups of salvations, is talking about the cup of salvation in this world and cup of salvation Le'olam Haba, in the world to come, which the world to come could mean Yemois HaMoshiach, the time Moshiach will be here. That's when we're going to have the true cup of salvation. That reminded me of an interesting medrash in this week's parsha. The medrash Rabbi brings down on Vayikra parsha Tes, Divrei Maaschal Zayin, says Rav Pinchas v'Rab Levi v'Rab Yochanan b'shem Rav Menachem de Galia. Rav Pinchas v'Rab Levi and Rab Yochanan said name Rav Nachman of Galia. Le'osid lavoi kol ha'karbonos betelim. In the future, all the sacrifices are going to be cancelled. The korban toida ain't a bottle, but the sacrifice of toda, the thanksgiving offering, is not going to be annulled. And he continues, kol tfilois betelois, but all prayers are going to be cancelled. Hoida ain't a betela, but thanking Hashem, that won't be cancelled. And the Medrash gives a source to this idea. But we have to understand, why aren't there going to be any other korbanos? Why we are not going to bring any other sacrifices at the time of Moshiach? So Mefarshim explain, in regards of the time of Moshiach, Yeshaya, the prophet Isaiah, on chapter 11, pasuk number 9, says, Kimolo haoretz deo es Hashem, that the earth will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, that everybody is going to feel in his heart Hashem's presence. Nobody is going to want to rebel against Hashem. Nobody is going to deny the existence of Hashem. Then nobody is going to sin. Not only purposeful sin, which require to bring a guilt offering or other sacrifices for that purpose, but even chatos, which comes by mistakes, you're also not going to do. Because the Alshach explains on the Pasuk, last week's Parsha, chapter 4, pasuk number 2, where the Alshach is trying to explain how come when somebody makes a mistake, he's required to bring an offering. After all, it was just a mistake. He did it something inadvertently. Then how come the Torah obligates him to bring a sacrifice which may cost upwards of thousands of dollars? The Alshach answers that the only reason that a person makes a sin by mistake is because that person already stumbled in this sin previously. In other words, since this person already stumbled in this sin, then Hashem makes it that this person could make mistake on it. Either he was thinking of making that sin, or he actually did it and he didn't realize. So Hashem makes it that he should make the sin by mistake. Comes out that if everybody is going to have knowledge and everybody is going to know Hashem is everywhere and everybody is going to see as Hashem is standing in front of him the whole time, then nobody is going to make any mistakes. Nobody is going to make any sin. Consequently, there won't be a reason to bring any other sacrifices, which most of them are brought because of a sin or because of thought of a sin, with the exception of the Todah offering, of the Thanksgiving offering, which is not connected to any sin. It is just thanking Hashem for being good to you, for saving you. That is what the Medrash is saying, that in time of Moshiach, since there won't be any sins, the only sacrifice that we are going to bring is the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, because at that time we'll thank Hashem for saving us, for always taking care of us, for helping us, for maintaining us alive. But nonetheless, since the time of Moshiach, all we are going to have is the Todah, and we know the Gemara brings down in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah 11a, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Benisan nigalu, in Nisan we were redeemed, benisan asidin ligal, and in Nisan we'll again be redeemed." Obviously, if you are matching up the redemption that we had in Egypt to the future redemption, then it's proper to say that the redemption is going to come this Pesach, that Pesach, because it's a propitious time for redemption, creates something in the world, in the cosmos, that it causes all future times to be propitious for complete redemption. That's why we say during the Kiddush on the wine at night and during the prayers, we say Zman Cheruseinu, it's a time for redemption. That's how Rabbi Dessler explains how the holidays create a spiritual time that you could reciprocate what happened in those times. Therefore, the rabbis saw fit that before Moshiach comes, you should remember the halachas of the Todah, that since we know Moshiach is going to come this week, when we are going to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, our redemption of Egypt, the rabbis hoped, knew, and believed that we are going to do in such devotion and intention that Hashem will look down from heaven and He will cause the true redemption to happen. Then Moshiach will come. Therefore, the rabbis instituted that right before the coming of Moshiach, right before the holiday of Pesach, you should read the halachas of the Korban Todah, the halachas of the sacrifices of the Thanksgiving offering, because this is the only offering that's going to be brought next week after the Moshiach comes. Therefore, the rabbi said that you have to read Parshas Tzav before Pesach. We go back to this week's Parsha, and we'll start the Parsha. The Parsha starts in Pasuk number 2, Tzav es Aharon, command Aharon, ves Bonov and his children Lemor, saying, Zois Toiras Oila, this is the law of the elevation offering, He o Oila al Moigda al Amizbeach kol alayla, this is the elevation offering which is on the flame on the altar all night, Ada boker until morning, veish hamizbeach tukat boy, and the fire of the mizbeach should remain a flame in it. First, we have to understand how come the sacrifices are repeated again in this week's parsha. Last week we had all the sacrifices, the elevation offering, the sin offering. How come this week's parsha all these sacrifices are repeated? The simple answer given is because last week's parsha we're talking about in regards to the Jewish people, what the Jew has to do when he brings the sacrifice, and this week's parsha we're talking about in regard to the Kohen, what the Kohen has to do when he gets the sacrifice. But then we have another question, that last week's parsha everything is written with Bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon. For example, on the first chapter, Pasuk number 5, Veikrivu Bnei Aharon HaKohanim, and the children of Aharon should bring it near. Pasuk number 7, Venosnu Bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon should give. Pasuk number 8, V'orchum, prepare Bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon, the Kohanim, should prepare. nowhere in last week's parsha is mentioned Aharon himself. It's only mentioned the children of Aharon. Here, in this week's parsha, we decide to start with Tzaves Aharon, command Aharon and his children. We're talking directly to Aharon, where last week, seemingly, we did not talk directly to Aharon. We're only referring to the children of Aharon. How come we changed that formula and now we're talking to Aharon directly? The answer is found in Yalkut Shimoni on Mishle, Remes Tov Tov Kuf Mem Vov. The Medrash goes on the Pasuk in Mishle, chapter 10, Pasuk number 12. The Pasuk says, Sina te'oirer medonim, hatred arouses strife, val kol peshoim techase ahava, but love covers all offenses. The Medrash is saying that this is talking about Moshe and Aharon. When Aharon dealt the golden calf, Hashem became very angry and Hashem wanted to destroy him. As it's written in Shemos chapter 32, Pasuk 33, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi asher chotoli, the person that has sinned for me, Emcheinu misifri, I will erase him from my book. And since Aharon was part of the golden calf, Hashem had in mind to erase Aharon from the book. Therefore, it's not written Aharon himself, it's only written Bnei Aharon. As a matter of fact, we see from Parshas Akev, chapter 9, Pasuk number 20, the Pasuk says there, Aharon is son of Hashem, Oid Lashmidoi, and Aharon, Hashem became very angry to destroy him. Vespalo gam be ad Aharon boesahi, I had to pray for Aharon in that time. Consequently, the Medrash says, because of that, in this Parsha, it's not written the name of Aharon, because Hashem was angry at the Jewish people for committing the golden calf, and Aharon was also part of the golden calf. Therefore, the anger of Hashem, the fury of Hashem, spilled over, as the Pasuk in Mishle explains, that hatred arouses strife. But what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu decided to pray for Aharon, and that caused Aharon to survive and caused Aharon's offenses to be covered off, and that caused Hashem to forgive Aharon's offenses. And that's what the Pasuk means to say, Val kol peshoim techase ahava, and love covers all offenses, which means the love that Moshe Rabbeinu had for Aharon caused Hashem to cover all the offenses that Aharon did. What prayer did Moshe Rabbeinu pray? Ravmani b'shem Rabbi Yeshua the Sichnen b'shem Rab Levi Omar. Ravmani said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua the Sichnen, name of Rab Levi, that from the beginning of the book until here, it's always written v'krivu bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon should sacrifice, v'ochu bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon should prepare, v'nosnu bnei Aharon, and the children of Aharon should give. Aharon is not mentioned, only his children. Moshe Rabbeinu came in front of Hashem and says, Ribbono Shelom, how is it possible the well is hated and the water of the well is beloved? In other words, Aharon is hated and his children are beloved. You are talking just about the children of Aharon and not talking at Aharon himself. It seems as you hate Aharon and love his children, which is the same example that the well is hated, but the water which is in the well, which comes from the well, it's loved. Even for wood, you gave honor that because of their children, they shouldn't use the wood. What does it mean? The Mishnah in Tamid, Daf Choftes, Amed Aleph, 29a, says that Kol Oitzim Ksheirim L'Gav Mizbeach, all woods are good to bring as sacrifice. All woods are okay to use on the Mizbeach. In other words, you have to put wood on the altar in order to burn the sacrifices. You are allowed to use all woods. Chut mishal zayis mishal gefen. You're not allowed to use olive wood or you're not allowed to use vines of grape. Why? Because these woods are the source of the products we use in the Mishkan. It is not proper to desecrate them and burn them. Meaning the oil, which is the byproduct of the olive tree, we are going to use to light the menorah, and the wine, which is the byproduct of the vine of grapes, which we use for libations, since we are going to use them for service of Hashem, it's improper for us to destroy the parents, meaning the olive wood and the wood of the vine of grapes. Comes out that Hashem gives honor for the source because of the what comes out of it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing, if you're giving honor for the children of Aharon, for sure you're required to give honor for Aharon. Amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hashem told him, Bishvil tfilascha ani merkarvoi. Because of your prayer, I am making him closer, and not only am I making him closer, I'm making him more important. Therefore, in this week's parsha starts, Tzav es Aharon ve'ez bonav, command Aharon and his children. So Aharon is the main source and his children is a subordinate. Not like last week's parsha, everything is Bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon. Here, because of that, Hashem wrote down Tzav es Aharon because Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Aharon, and that caused Aharon to get ahead. The Rashba says it a little bit differently, and he says it wasn't Moshe that prayed for Aharon. He says that it was actually Aharon that he saw that Hashem never mentioned his name. Then he did tshuva, he cried for Hashem, and his tshuva was accepted, and Hashem right away told him, Tzav es Aharon ve'ez bonav. So the Medrash says it was Moshe Rabbeinu that prayed, but the Rashba says it was Aharon that prayed. Sefer Chen Tov asks a question that the language of this first pasuk seems to be redundant. The pasuk says, Tzav es Aharon ve'zbonav leimor, command Aharon and his children saying, Zois toiras ha'oila, this is the law of the oila, he ha'oila al moigdo mizbeach kalayla ad ha'boiker, this is the oila that is burned all night until morning. Theoretically, the pasuk just should have said, Zois toiras ha'oila, al moigdo mizbeach kalayla, this is the law of the oila that is burned all night on the altar. Why does the Torah say, He a oila al moigda al mizbeach kalayla? This is the oila that is burned all night. The fact that we're talking about the oila, I know you're talking about the oila. You don't have to say, Zois toiras oila, this is the law of the oila, this is the oila. No, you're talking about the oila. And then he asks another question. As a rule, if you have to bring a chatas offering, a sin offering, or you have to bring an elevation offering, we are required to bring the sin offering first. As the Gemara brings down, Zevachim Daf Peites Omed Alef says that Dam Chatos Koidem LeDam Oila, that the blood of the Chatos offering precedes the blood of the Oila offering. In other words, I have two bloods to sprinkle, I have a choice, the sin offering or the elevation offering. We are supposed to bring first the sin offering, then the elevation offering. Rashi, on Parsha Sazria, chapter 12, Pasuk number 8 brings down, that always, when you have to bring two sacrifices there, that you bring first the sin offering and then the elevation offering. The question is, if that is true, how come here in our parsha we start with the oila? Why don't we start with the chatas, with the sin offering? Right after the oila, we're going to bring the sin offering. And theoretically, if you always bring the sin offering before the elevation offering, then we should start with the sin offering. Why do we start with the elevation offering? The logic that we start with the sin offering is because since you are not allowed to bring a gift before you make atonement for what you did wrong, therefore it's logical to say that we first bring an atonement for the sin before we start to give the gift, which is the oila, is theoretically as a gift to Hashem. It's elevation offering totally to Hashem. Then it's not proper to give a gift before you appease the person, before you ask forgiveness for the person. The person will not accept gifts from you while you're still guilty. So if you have an option to bring a sin offering, an elevation offering, you should bring first the sin offering. Then the question is, how come here we start the elevation offering? So Sefer Chaim Tov explains that the reason the pasuk is redundant by explaining what the oila is really to answer the question, how come we start with the oila? Meaning that the pasuk is saying, Zois toiras ha'oila, I'm giving you the laws of the oila. You're going to ask me, how come you're starting with the oila? You should start with the chatos. The answer is, He ha'oila al moigdo ha'mizbeach kol ha'layla ad ha'boiker. This is the oila that comes every single day on the mizbeach, all night until the morning. Therefore, since the oila comes every day on the mizbeach, There is another rule which is also brought down in Zavachim Peites Omed Aleph, that Kol HaTodir Mechaveroi, that anything that it comes more constant than something else, then Koidem Eschaveroi comes first. So the Torah is trying to explain to you, how come I'm giving you first the laws of the Oila and only afterwards giving you the laws of the Chatos? Because the Oila is the one that is on the Mizbeach Kol HaLaila, all night. All night this Oila is on the Mizbeach. But other Karbonas, true, they may be more important, but since I am listing the Karbonas, for me it's more important to list the Karbonas which is studied, which is more constant, because the Oila is every day and every night. We're talking about the Tomid Shel Shachar, the morning Tomid, the Tomid Shel Barabayim, and the night Tomid. Therefore, since they are more constant, I am listing them first, because that's all we're talking about. We're not talking about the regular Oilas that a person brings to the nation. We talk about, no, he Oila al Moigdo, al Mizbeach Kol HaLaila. This is the Oila that stays all night. So that, in other words, that's the Oila from Tomid Shel Ben Arbaim. Therefore, I am telling you this first. Then, Sefer Chen Toiv gives another answer, and he says that he's really not talking about this Oila, he's talking about he Oila. This is the famous Oila. This Oila is the carbon that Avraham Avinu brought, that Noah brought, that Adam Arishon brought, that Hevel brought. Therefore, this carbon has already chazaka, is already established. And before I tell you about the new carbons, the new sacrifices I want you to bring, I am giving you the rules of the previous sacrifices, how to properly do it. Therefore, it's telling you, he Oila, this is the famous Oila that's brought down before that everybody burned. Therefore, the word Oila is repeated, and therefore the laws of the Oila come before the laws of the Chatas of the sin offering. Rav Moshe Mekovrin explains the question, why is it written redundantly, Zois Toiras Oila, Hia Oila Al Moigdo, this is the Oila on fire. He explains that he's not talking about the sacrifice of Oila. The Torah is alluding to the Torah itself, which means to say, Zois Toiras Oila, you want to know how you are able to get greater in the Torah, how you're able to lift yourself to a higher level of Torah learning, Hia Oila Al Moigdo. Only a Oila that you learn with a fire all night, if you learn with a warmth, if you learn with alacrity, if you feel like you really depend on this Torah, then you are able to elevate your Torah, and Hashem will elevate your status, your thoughts, and you're able to go in a higher level of Torah. They tell a story from the Baal Shem Tov, which illustrates almost the same idea, but in a different level. Once the Baal Shem Tov came with his group into a Beis Medrash, and as soon as he got to the door of Beis Medrash, to a house of learning, he says, I'm sorry, we are not allowed to go into this Beis Medrash, because this Beis Medrash, this house of learning, is full and it's overflowing with Torah, that there is no room for anybody to go in. The people that accompanied the Baal Shem Tov were wondering, quite opposite, if they're so full of Torah, then obviously we should go in into the Beis Medrash in order to partake of the spirituality of the place. So the Baal Shem Tov explained based on what we just learned. The Pasuk says, Zois Toiras Oila, this is the Torah that goes up. In other words, which Torah goes up to Hashem? We learn Torah here, but which Torah really goes up to Hashem and Hashem feels satisfied from the Torah? The Baal Shem Tov answered, Hia Oila Al Moigdo, that the only Torah that goes up is the Torah that is learned with a fire. If you learn with alacrity, with warmth, with a fire, that Torah will go up to Hashem. But a Torah that we don't learn with awe of Hashem, we don't learn with enthusiasm, we learn just because we're sitting and kvetching the bank, sitting and making time to be able to say, I learned something, but you really are not enthusiastic about your learning, that Torah doesn't go up to Hashem. That Torah stays in the walls of the Beis HaMedrash and doesn't go up. So the Baal Shem Tov was saying that to this Beis HaMedrash we can't go in, Because even though technically they seems like they learn Torah, but since they're not learning Torah with a fear of God, they're not trying to keep what they're going to learn. They don't have the alacrity. They don't have the enthusiasm. They don't have the warmth for the Torah. Then to such a place the Baal Shem Tov did not want to go in. In truth, we always say that Shemitoch Sheloi Lishma, Baal Lishma, the person should learn anyways, even if he doesn't have the proper thoughts, because hopefully we'll eventually have the proper thoughts. So therefore, for us, there is no excuse for us not to learn. We can't say that I'm waiting for my kavana, for my proper intentions to be right, and I'm waiting to go learn because I'm waiting to have enthusiasm to go learn. We are required to go learn anyways, and hopefully if we understand the beauty of Torah, understand the gift that Hashem gave us for the Torah, we'll have enthusiasm by ourselves, and then we'll become Lishma. And Hashem Yisburach should help that the intention of the rabbis of putting Parshas Tzav before Pesach, that they hoped Moshiach will come and you will be ready with the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving offering. Because to say Thanksgiving to Hashem, to have the Hakorah Satoiv, is the most important thing in this world. And that is the thing that is going to be in the world to come. So we should all merit to say thank you to Hashem now and have good intentions during Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, and we will all bring the Thanksgiving offering. Bimheira, Beyomeinu, Amen.